Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. We have been blessed with another edition of Religion Means Alive. We have with us Brother Anthony Shaheed, the president of the Tawheed Youth. And we have with him Brother Yahya from Lincoln University in the great city of Lincoln, Missouri. He's a philosophy and political science major. And these brothers are on the ground working in Ferguson, Missouri, to see that Michael Brown's life is not in vain and we get justice. So I will shut up and listen to them as they give us an opening statement. We will follow first in order with Brother Anthony, because I met him first, then I followed by Brother Yahya. And we are going to go right ahead into it with an opening statement. But after I give this opening statement, I'm going to come back around at 20 minutes after and make some announcements. Go ahead, Brother Anthony. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You listen to Brother Anthony, from St. Louis, Missouri, Ferguson, Missouri. Brother Anthony.
Thank you very much. Always, before I say anything, Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, never did he destroy a people or a nation until we did just one thing, and that's left off prayer. But without any hesitation or reservation, I seek refuge with Allah against the enemy of God and man. I openly bear witness that nothing in creation deserves worship or praise except for one God, and that's Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, the Most High. I bear witness that he has no size, no images, no color, no container, no beginning, no ending, no circumference, no diameter, no limitations, no boundaries, no helpless, no father, no son, no wife, no daughter, no mother. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the slave serving human messenger for all of humanity, for all mankind, for all time. I'm going to pass it to my young brother so he can open up, and then we can come back and start talking. Brother Yahya.
In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah. And as a Muslim, we honor and love all of Allah's messengers and prophets, as they all come from the one eternal source, from Abraham to Moses to Jesus, and Jesus to Muhammad and men Abdullah. Peace be upon all these reverend servants of God. Go ahead, Brother Shaheed.
Okay, thank you so much. This is a young brother that I'm really excited about. I've been working with him for years, and I can kind of just give you just a little bit about me, and then I guess what we'll do is kind of go back and forth, because this is really what I want to do. I want to first thank you for inviting us on your show, Brother Alfred. Thank you very much, Brother Imam Alfred Muhammad, for inviting us. I got a chance to go on Brother Ramadan's show, and he told me, he said, this other brother I got, he got a hot show. He on every day, 5 or 6 days a week, 2 or 3 hours, and I want to put you with him, so I want to also give him a shout-out and thank Allah for him for hooking us up, and I want to thank the trade, As-salamu alaykum, which just means peace, to your radio listening audience. I'm the president of Tawheed Youth Group here in St. Louis. For the last 30 years in the black community, I work with everybody, but I've dedicated my life to black people, and I'm not apologetic. I don't apologize to nobody. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did 90% of his work with unlearned people. So, you know, I'm following the sunnah with the Prophet, peace be upon him. I believe if he was here live today, he would be working with the unlearned and the people that are in much need of help. Here in St. Louis, you know, they keep talking about Ferguson, so I just want to, just for the record, St. Louis and Ferguson is no more than, because people tell me, Brother Shaheed, I see you in Ferguson. Have you got back to St. Louis yet? You talk about 7 minutes, and I'm straight lying to you as an imam if I tell you it takes me 10 minutes to get from my house to Ferguson. So Ferguson and St. Louis reminds me of Frank James and Jesse James. All of them got the same mentality. Frank James ain't worried about what Jesse James and Ferguson did. Frank James is worried about St. Louis. What Jesse James had left for him to steal or to kill. So all of them got that same mentality. Allah blessed me to be the first one on the front line when Brother Mike Brown got killed, Brother Imam Alfred. I got a call
from
a brother named Brother David. And within 25, 30 minutes, I'll say within a half an hour from the time my brother laid on that ground, I was there. So I was the first brother on the scene, the first activist. I'm the brother that Allah blessed, not me. We said we do nothing of ourselves. I'm the first brother to start the hands up, don't shoot. That's why Allah is blessed to be all around the world, because he had his hands up, and the more people got to tell me what it was. And they kept bringing all those dogs out and reinforcement out, and police from all municipalities from everywhere started coming out. I started telling the people to put their hands up because they got a bad habit of shooting around here. I mean, that's just something that they do here. St. Louis is a real backwards town. If anybody's ever traveling, I do a lot of traveling. If you ever come to St. Louis, this is one of the most racist towns that you would ever run into. You won't find it no worse than here. I'll quote this, and then I'll kind of give it to Brother Yaya so he can talk, and then we'll go back and forth, and then whatever you want me to stop. I love to talk, so, you know, you have to stop me. What I've seen is that these people here, they came into our community, Brother Alfred, and the way they came with so much hatred that Dr. King said something. And I know you remember, this is for you, Brother Yaya, for young people. I love dealing with young people. Dr. King has been all over the South. And you can bear me witness, Brother Alfred, if I'm right, and if I'm wrong, then I stand to be corrected. And he had worked in all those areas. He said when he got to Chicago, he'd never seen so much hatred. He had never seen so much racism as he's seen in Chicago. And he had been all through Mississippi. He had been through Montgomery. He had been through Selma. He had been through all the South. But when he got to St. Louis and they met him in Chicago, he said, man, this place here is different. Well, I'm telling you the same thing about St. Louis. They used to call this place St. Louis. This is the most racist town that you ever want to be in. And these people here would rather spit on a black man than to speak to him. They're not subtle with their racism or nothing. And you got the most racist merit that it is that you can run into. His name is Slate. He fired the first black chief. And what he do, he don't buy Negroes, he rent them. He got rented Negroes here that bow down to him the way we bow down to Allah, the Most High God, ancestor. That's how they bow down to him around here. And they just automatically just knew that they was going to be doing things to black folks, and never knew that Allah was going to make this a spiritual situation with Mike Brown, that the whole international global community would erupt and focus would be on St. Louis and Ferguson. They never thought this would happen. St. Louis just promoted 15 white boys under the chief of police. 15 white boys they just promoted, my brother. And guess how many were black? Zero. They're going to do 17 promotions. 17 promotions right now as we speak. 16 of them are white lieutenants. One black. Ferguson, 53 police, only three blacks. 27 firefighters in Ferguson, only two blacks. Florissant, Missouri, which is less than 7 minutes from Ferguson, Missouri, 100 police officers, four blacks. And it's like this with them, just about all the municipalities in there. So the same problem really St. Louis is having. I wouldn't have bet you if I came to New Jersey. I wouldn't have bet you if I came to Chicago or any of these other places. Racism is live and well. Why? Because they say this is a white male-dominated society. So let me kind of hold there, because I love to talk, but I want to get this young brother a chance who's 23 years old at Lincoln University, and they invited me up there about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I let loose, brother. I cut loose. I don't play when I get on. You give me the mic. Don't give it to me unless you want El Hawk, the truth. If you don't want some El Hawk, then pass it on down. But if you want the truth with John 8:32 said in the Bible, know ye the truth so you can be set free, don't pass me no mic. So I'm going to pass it on to this young brother here that's 23 years old so we can hear something from the young people, and then we can keep going back and forth. If it's okay with you, Brother Imam.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I didn't want to start, Brother Shaheed. He was on a roll. I was enjoying listening. But
I'm enjoying y'all. Let me just let you know, we got plenty of time to keep rolling from St. Louis, Missouri. You are the Redeemer to St. Louis.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Iman Alfred, I want to thank you for.
Yes, sir.
What'd you say, brother?
All of the redeemers. So, brother Yaya, we waiting to hear from you. And y'all just kick it. I'm just going to sit back and chill. I'm in the audience. And only time you may hear me come back if a caller, and let me just tell the callers, get ready to line up at 805-727-7013. We are live from St. Louis, Missouri, and St. Louis is not a saintly town, I must tell you. I've been there. I know wherever our people are, we're suffering. And this is the purpose of religion being alive, is to bring life to the dead. So continue, my brother. Brothers, rather.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Imana, for having us on this show. And to all the people that are listening today, if you do not know Anthony Shaheed or you're not familiar with Anthony Shaheed, you better get familiar with him. Because when you look at black leadership in the black community, you got all these and I was trained by Anthony Shaheed. He was my first teacher in Islam. So you have to forgive me if I'm being a little radical, if I'm being a little aggressive, but I'm going to tell the truth. In the words of my teacher, Brother Anthony Shaheed, I don't buck, dance, bunk, jump, butt lick, or boo lick for no one. Brother Shaheed is one of the only leaders that we have that's truly standing up for black people in black neighborhoods that are ran and dominated by white people. He's one of the only ones that we have that are truly out there fighting for us and fighting against the establishment, these white political institutions, these white judicial institutions, and he's trying to save our people. And we have to accept this, brother. We have to accept him with open arms, and we have to welcome him, just like we welcome Marcus Mosiah Garvey, just like we welcome Brother Malcolm X, just like we welcome Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan. We have to welcome Brother Anthony Shaheed, especially when it comes to our communities in the St. Louis region and throughout the state of Missouri. So I want to thank Brother Shaheed for all that he is doing to help black people, because we truly need him. And it is in my humble opinion that he is one of the last men standing, and we truly need. My name is John Muhammad, also known as Yahya Muhammad. I am a student at Lincoln University, majoring in political science and philosophy. I am the student representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam. Just as Brother Anthony Shaheed said a couple minutes ago, we had a big program on October 9th. It was called Hands Up, Don't Shoot, a panel discussion on police, politics, and race. And the whole purpose of this discussion was to shed light on the Mike Brown situation. And as I was planning this event, as I was prepping for it and organizing it and promoting it, I was getting calls, some of the most racist calls you could ever think of. I got calls from the chief of police in Jefferson City. I got calls from the sheriff of Cole County, which Jefferson City is in. I got calls from white state senators, white state representatives. I've gotten calls from certain white administrators in Lincoln University, and they all asked me one thing, and it was, stop this event. And if you don't stop it, can you change the name? Because it don't give a negative outlook on our police public safety officials here. See, they were scared. And then once they found out who was on the panel, and I had some of the most powerful people you can ever think of. But Anthony Shaheed, of course, the president for the Taihi Youth Group. I had Akbar Muhammad. He is the national spokesman for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam. I had Zaki Baruti. He is the president general of the Universal African People's Organization. And I had Donald Muhammad. He is a local representative in St. Louis to the Nation of Islam. And I had these people on this panel, and as they were discussing the problems that black people are having when it comes to police brutality, when it comes to social and economical conditions, and when it all comes down to just being a black man in America. And they were asking me to stop this event because they didn't want it to go on, because it was going to wake up too many people. It was going to cause too many tensions. They thought that this event was going to cause a problem. But none of us want to cause a problem, because the problem is already here. The problem is black people being killed like niggas. In the Bible, God said, I made man. It didn't say he made nigger. He said, I made man. So if God didn't make nigger, that means somebody else had to make nigger. And who made the nigger? The white racist slave master 400 years ago, the white racist slave master 60 years ago, and the white racist slave master today.
Yes, sir. I got a text message here, and the brother asked a question. Mr. Hall is his name. Mr. Hall says he wanted to know, can we get an up-to-date information about what is going on there now? I appreciate the background information, but he wanted to know what is going on. Where are we at with the Michael Brown an indictment of the policeman? They've already indicted and executed Michael Brown on the spot. So can you keep us posted up to date what's going on there?
And I wish, if, and I don't know how we do it, but I've been doing this 30 years. So I love talking to brothers and sisters when they ask questions, but if we can't, we got to do it through text, whatever way it is. I don't have any problems with that. Where we're at now here today is there's nowhere. These white folks, St. Louis reminds me of the, and then I'll answer the brother's question, but I have to say this, it reminds me of the Emmett Till's trials. What was the brother's name to ask the question? Brother Imam Alfred, what was the brother's name to ask the question?
Brother's name is Mr. Hall.
Mr. Hall.
Brother Hall.
Mr. Hall, Brother Hall, I want you to know that this reminds me of the Emmett Till's trial when they told them just before the verdict came in that every Anglo-Saxon one of you know what to do. Bob McCullen is probably the most racist. Bull Connors look like a saint compared to this guy here. And with the whole world looking, he ain't budged. They study leaking out information. Just 2 days ago, they leaked out information about some blood in the car. Well, we don't even know. Even Eric Holden had to make a statement on that asking, why the hell would you put out about blood in the car? But we already know it's some blood or some kind of situation going on. What we want you to answer is, are y'all going to indict this man? You got 8 people that have said, as witnesses, and 2 of them are Caucasians that had absolutely nothing to do, period, with this Canfield situation where he was shot at. And these people still refuse to come and arrest this man. Most of us, I've been arrested. I've been arrested once. The senator's been arrested twice, and some of these other people, we probably didn't have about 2,000 or 3,000 people have been arrested. The bottom line, Brother Hall, nothing has been done. And that's why we're going to do what we're going to do, and I'll get into that in just 1 minute next week. How we have the whole country coming in, everybody, but we're asking them to go do the early voting. And then we're really trying to target Brother Imam Afik, places like the colleges, and this is what this brother's going to tie into when he comes back on. Hopefully he'll cover the 3 or 4 colleges that they have already that's coming in to help us that are working with him, along with picking up some other additional colleges. When he get off the phone, he has a meeting with some of the colleges that he's going to talk about. But this is the reason we're asking from the 31st, which is next weekend, all the way until the 4th, which is Election Day, to come in and help us get the vote out, to make sure that they understand that this vote here is bigger than voting for Barack Obama for the first time when he was running as a black president. This is bigger than the Selma, Alabama piece, the Montgomery piece. This is bigger than everything that ever happened because this is global on a global level that nobody had never thought about before. Because if Allah bless us to shake the foundation of these white races here in St. Louis or St. Louis, then it would change the whole dynamic. So we got Al Sharpton and probably about 7 leaders. I don't know which ones are confirmed now. We have some of the major artists coming in here. When I say major, to help us get this vote out. And we're targeting young people where you have 75 or 80% of an area that have not been voting but are registered to vote. We're going into those areas with these college students to be on those polls to make sure that they're out there with this hip-hop piece, to make sure that these stars that are coming in to take pictures with these people to vote, to make it so exciting and hype it so much that this is bigger than the General 6. We're asking for 50,000 people to come into this city to help us to make sure that we get these votes out and that we can put this right-hand candidate that we're dealing with, Brother Zaki Baruti, who he just talked about, to make sure that we can get him in, do a blow to racism, to the tsunami of racism that's been happening right here. So we have some Friday. We have a youth day with over 100 DJOs, disciple of Jesse, that Al Sharpton gave them that name, that would be out there in the streets that when this verdict comes, because we're putting things in place. I'm just being honest, and this is something that I hate to say, but I'm being honest. With all the feedback that we're getting, I'm damn near sure that they're going to tell this man he's innocent. I'm just telling you, and I'm the last person to want to say this. I'm the brother here, too, just for the record, that wears the chains. You'll see Brother Shaheen with the ropes on. You'll see me with the nooses on. You'll see me holding the dogs. You'll see me with the police hat on. You'll see me holding the whip. I'm that brother. And the reason I'm out there like that is because these white races are so strong here. I want them to see how racism looks in its purity, the way that they show it to the world. I want the world to see it. So to answer your question, Brother Hall, they have not moved. We've hit them with what we call our constitution. We've asked them to do 5 things, and they have moved on one of them. We asked them to fire Darren Wilson, the guy who killed this brother and left him on the ground, Mike, for 4 hours and a half. They ain't did that. We asked a guy named Bob McCullen to step down as a special and let a special prosecutor come in because his father was killed by police. His mother worked for the police department for at least 20 years. His uncles, he got three uncles that are police officers, and his wife is tied up with the police. So he's got too much police affiliation, so we've asked him to move himself away. They have not did that. We asked for the chief of police and also the mayor in Ferguson to step down. They ain't doing the bottom line is five things we've asked them, Brother Hall, they ain't did not one of them. Because with all this tension on them, these guys remind me of Mississippi with Emmett Till's. They're not budging. They don't care nothing about the international world looking. While the international world was looking, they shot a brother named Powell 10 times that had a knife in his hand that they could have tased very easily. When the international world was here 2 weeks after Mike Brown had got killed, was laying on the ground with all the international news here, they shot a brother. They just shot another brother about 2.5 weeks ago and just found out now the police say he was shooting at them, and the forensic came out yesterday showing this brother was running away from them and that they shot him from the back. I mean, it's just this is St. Louis is what I'm telling you. This is the last place they freed the slave. I'm trying to answer Brother Hall's question. They have did absolutely nothing is what they've done.
I heard you. Look, this, Joe, I want you all to express from your heart, your mind, and the soul what about. This is not a typical interview. I want to hear from you on the ground because I want to come out, as you guys do this, I want to support you. We have a caller from 336, and then we're going to go back and let you all continue. Caller from 336,
no problem.
You're on the line with Brother Yahya Muhammad and Brother Anthony.
As-salamu alaykum, my brothers.
Wa-alaykum.
I am Alameen Muhammad, and I was calling from North Carolina. And if I could just take a moment and speak from my heart, I would like to say that the vibration and the tone, you can pretty much say, is becoming more louder. And what I mean by that is that the evil is becoming more apparent. And we're talking about progressive evil over the years, and now is manifesting itself to the forefront. They shooting us down like they hung us and lynched us back in the days. And they can no longer get away with it. You see what I'm saying, brothers? They can no longer get away with it.
My thing is, brother,
is that I don't know how to say it, but I can just only say it this way. There has to be a taking back, because one thing that I do know, not only has their vibration became louder on the evil side, but our vibration as well has become greatly intensified from the oppression and the suffering that we have dealt with. And they can see the songs that we are singing now. We ain't taking it no more. See?
Yes.
And that's what they're failing to understand, because these cats that are doing it, brother, these are new bloods.
And let me jump in. I don't want you to get off yet. I want to just add, then you can finish talking. Two points I want to say. This young youth, it's not like these old boot-licking, butt-licking, buck-dancing, buck-jumping, butt-kissing, butt-sniffing, half-baked, half-fried, porky-fied, sissy-fied, pasteurized, homogenized Negroes. This new youth, I promise you, I don't care what they do. If this verdict come back, it don't make no difference what Brother Shaheed is saying, what you saying, what Brother Yahya is saying,
right,
what Brother Imam Afrik saying. These young brothers in the streets, and it's not going to just be St. Louis. It's going to erupt around the whole world. And from the first day, my young brother, you know one of the things I told him, and I'm standing here, and that's the second thing I want to say. Our problem is not in Afghanistan, it's black people. Our problem is not with Hamas, it's black people. Our problem is not over there where Israel is sending people every day. People can leave from there to come over to Israel to fight, from any city around America and fight and come back as a hero. But if a Muslim say he's going over there to fight with ISIS or anybody else, they sit and put him and lock him up. It's a truth. These young people are not going to keep on taking this stuff that me and you take.
Right.
They're tired of this old Uncle Tom ism all around, and they just not going to accept it. See, it's two standard. I give you the best example. You can, well, you say you're from New Jersey, young brother. You can be in New Jersey right now, and I don't know who there. It could be a young Jew that decides to go to fight for Israel right now.
Yes,
they will
sir.
Put him on the front line, and he'll come back as a hero. But now, if you got a standard for one, you're supposed to have a standard for everybody. They don't have
that's
the
right.
same standard for black folks and for Muslims. So the whole
nope.
world is looking. That's why I keep telling people my problem is not, I'm not going to join up with no other government to fight. I can fight right here. I don't have to leave St. Louis. I don't have to leave Chicago. I don't have to leave the United States to fight. I'm fighting with these white racist crackers right here in America from the unions. These are some crackers that are, man, these white folks, the Fortune 500 that say it's a white male-dominated society that don't hire black folks. I don't have to go fight in no other army. I can fight right here with these racist crackers right here in America. That's where my fight started at. My fight ain't nowhere else. It's right here in America. But go on and finish what you're saying, young brother.
Yes, brother, and that's the thing. And that's just what I wanted to say, brother, you know, because time has now come, you see. And I tell you, one thing that I know for a fact, though, what they cannot do to us would not be done again. And they cannot make us and convince me and myself to hate my Islam brothers over there in, say, Syria, Turkey, and Iraq. I'm not going to do that. You see what I'm saying? Because I know that the British and the French paved the way for America to do the things that they have done to our Muslim brothers and sisters over there in the Middle East. So with this being said, I just want to say this, is that what we're about to see in these days is the fall of an empire and the rise of an empire, the rise and fall of an empire.
All praise due to Allah. Well, I'm on record. Thank you for your call, brother. Thank you very much. I'm on call, brother, ma'am. I can't speak for nobody but Brother Anthony Shaheed, and Brother Yahya listens to me. He respects me. I'm not going to throw a rock in the schoolyard at these white folks because they got their homeland security and whatnot. But what I can do is make people so aware, and that's why they see me wearing those chains. I wore the chains because they brothers are in chains. I wore the chains, Brother Imam Afford, to represent the psychological chains of slavery that we have to break. I wear the chains all the time so they can understand that more black men are locked up in America than in the whole entire
that's
world.
Right.
On the whole world.
That's where you're coming from.
Okay,
yes,
I wear the ropes because Billie Holiday, Brother Yahya, had a song called Strange Fruit Hanging from the South, that they hung more black women and left their bodies on the trees than they did black men, but she sings Strange Fruit Hanging from the South, and it was black men and black women. I carry the whip because they had a saying, any, meeny, mighty, mo, because we were Muslims, Moors, that ran Spain for 800 years. So even with the comedy that came out with the Three Stooges with a guy on there named Mo, that's where we got the name from, any, meeny, mighty, mo, catch a nigger by his toe, if he holler, let him go. Why did they say if he hollered? Because if he didn't holler, they would kill him, they would beat him so much, even though they paid that for that property, their so-called property, they would beat us until we died. I wore the keep the dogs up because that particular day, the first day I was there, Brother Imam, they 622 dogs on us. See, and it wasn't last year, a rent 1010. These were dogs supposed to be our best friend, but they weren't our best friend that day. So what I'm showing
the
world,
let me ask you this, can I ask you a question? It looks like Professor Cornell West, as he was being arrested, it looked like the police was actually ready to beat him. Am I correct in my assessment?
You see with your eyes ain't deceiving you. These white folks are so hateful. We just had a senator that just got locked up. Now, she's a senator. But she had to use the restroom, and them white folks and these Uncle Tom Negroes didn't give a damn about this right here. They are so evil and hateful. And this, I'm going to tell you this here, brother, and this is the truth. I don't think no other issue would have got national attention than this police piece. Because these police have died. And let me tell you this for the record. I'm not anti-police. I have blood numbers in my family that I love. I mean my blood numbers that I love that are police. I got probably about four or five police officers along with about seven Muslims that I'm in love with. And I love my Muslim community that I'm in love with. I'm not anti-police. But I'm telling you what the field in these streets, they have dog our brothers putting dope on them.
Yeah.
Planting guns on them. taking the money off of them. They have $100,000 in the house with drugs and stuff, and they sit and take the drugs and the money, turn in $5,000, keep the $95,000, put it in another community and start making money on that. So when them young brothers start hollering out, they done took their dope or they free casing, I mean, they giving them a free case. They know for a fact they couldn't catch them, so they come in and put some dope on them. Or they take payoffs, meaning you got to pay the police. Chicago was famous for it. The St. Louis is famous for it. That police are getting paid. That's what I'm talking about. No other issue is bigger than the issue with this police situation that's happening here. So what I'm saying to the world, and I'm going to put back to Brother Yaya because I can talk. The biggest thing that I see is we have a human rights problem. Malcolm Malik El-Shabazz talked about it. He said, stop saying we have a civil problem. We don't have a civil problem here. This is not a civil problem that black people are going through here in America. We have a human problem. So the United States has no business talking to Putin about a damn thing. They have no business saying nothing to North Korea. When they say something to North Korea, when they say something to China about violating their human rights, the Chinese government should tell them, hands up, don't shoot. Brother Shahid told us to say, hands up, don't shoot. President Putin should tell them to put their hands up and tell them, hands up, don't shoot. Mind your damn business. Don't say a damn thing to me. I want to thank those brothers from the College of Howard University that stood up and put their hands up, don't shoot. I want to thank the brothers and sisters from Hong Kong that stood up with their umbrellas before they put their umbrellas up. They put their hands up, say, hands up, don't shoot. They respect what Brother Allah bless Brother Anthony Shahid to get started around the world, because as long as we understand we have a human problem, we don't have a civil problem, Brother Imam, after Brother Yaya, who I want to get ready to jump in now. Brother Yaya, we do not have a human problem, no civil problem. We have a problem being treated like human beings and having human conditions like other human beings. When you take jobs away from people and you don't have no jobs and you don't teach them how to do nothing for yourself, and you bring drugs in, we don't own TSA. We don't control that, Brother Imam. We don't control the airports. We don't control the Coast Guard. We don't control Homeland Security. We don't control those drone missiles. We don't control none of this spy stuff they get. So if the damn drugs is in America and the black community and the guns and drugs is there, I know damn well these white folks, this government bring it. So I don't have no problem outside this country. My fight is with these racist crackers right here. Brother Yaya, jump in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. Brother Shahid is not leaving no stone unturned. When you look at the social economic conditions of black people, we're still in slavery. We're in economic slavery. We're in bondage slavery. And if you want to get technical, we're still in physical slavery, because and when you look at St. Louis, and this is St. Louis is a microcosm of everything that's going on around the world. When you look at St. Louis, you got schools closing in black neighborhoods. When you got schools closing, yeah, you got kids on streets. When you got kids on streets, it does nothing but lead them into bad activities, get them in conflicts with white racist police officers, and send them to jail. You got schools closing. You got jails opening. That's the problem going on. It's the social economic conditions of black people. See, there is a conspiracy to kill black people in America. These crackers, these white racists, the America is just a white racist nation, flat out. Ain't no getting behind that. So you got, see, black people, they want to talk about every other issue but the issue. They want to talk about every other problem but the problem. And the problem is America is racist. America is ran by KKK. You got white police,
yeah,
officers who ain't nothing but KKK members who trade in their white sheets for police badges. That's all it is. America is just a racist nation. It's a racist nation who don't like black people. They treat black people like niggas. And thing is, it's just a conspiracy to kill. A conspiracy to kill young black people. Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis, now Michael Brown. This ain't by coincidence. This ain't no coincidence. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is how America was set up. This is a white systematic era to kill black people. And it's just a social economical thing where black people don't get it. See, we wanna cry about that we want rights. We want to be equal to the white man in his own land. We want to be just like the white man. We want his rights. We want to go wherever he goes. We want to live in the shadow of our former slave master, and that's our problem. Because psychologically, we don't know what we're doing. Psychologically, we are bound down to the white man, and we don't even know it. Psychologically, the white man is killing us. Mentally, the white man is killing us. Physically, economically, and socially, he's killing us, and we don't even know it. All we want to do is beg to be wherever he go. We want to go where he go.
Allahu Akbar. Well, I'm loving these young brothers that's coming out the bullpen throwing strikes. So when me and you are dead in our grave, and Brother Hall is dead in his grave, these young people are laying it down. So really, Ferguson is New Jersey, Brother Imam.
Let me give a station break. You listen to Religion Means Live. We are live and well from St. Louis, Missouri. which we are finding not really is a saintly town. We're listening to our brother, Brother Anthony Shaheed. You've seen him on TV. You've seen him on TV with the ropes, the chains, and hooks. And I'm telling you something, if our young people in these cities were to see the chains, the ropes, and the hooks, and the dogs, they would understand that they have gone undergone. So he's doing a great cultural conversion program to bring us to our consciousness. And he's joined by Brother Yahya from Lincoln University, political science and philosophy major at Lincoln University, historical African-American college and university. And you can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. We are going to speak tomorrow at 3 o'clock on Ferguson and Beyond, organizing for the 21st century. I also want to tell you that I have a personal concern that I'd like to bring to your attention. Some of you might know, but I have been on Facebook with stating that I have prostate cancer. It's an unfortunate fact, but I would ask you all that can help me with 20, 10, 30, whatever you can spare, to go to GoFundMe, GoFundMe.com, and go to Albert Muhammad's Prostate Cancer Fund and donate. We decided we didn't want radiation. We decided we didn't want surgery. We decided that we didn't want all this other kinds of invasive therapy for prostate cancer. But the insurance company, unfortunately, decided that's the only thing we can get. We have, on the basis of your charity, we're going to use that to pay a phenomenal African-American physician, Dr. Flowers, to treat us with alternative medicine. He's an MD. He, in fact, is in that iconic picture of students with guns sticking over the administration building at Cornell University. I have a militant, revolutionary physician that's treating me, and we're going to treat cancer the way the police have treated us. Isn't that something? So let's go to the phones, and we're going to be right back to our brother. So I will repeat that. Go to GoFundMe.com and go to Alfred Muhammad's Prostate Cancer Fund, and from the bottom of your heart, give to us what you think you can give. I'm not going to tell you what to give. You know better than I do. Paul from 908-463, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir. I was calling because I had heard that there was something, some actions that some brothers and sisters had took over in Missouri, where they had voted to get rid of the police in their area, and I think they had brought in the state police to be their police in their area. It was a town next to yours and near Ferguson, where, you know, the same type of police were there. But they had come up with what I thought was a novel idea. I'd never thought of that before, where they had got rid of the police department head, the person that was the chief police police there. They had gotten rid of the whole police department, had fired the whole police department, and had brought in the state police. And I wanted you to expound on that and tell me whether you knew anything about it, whether you were involved in it, and what kinds of ideas, because after the marching is over, you still got these racist police. So the question is, what are you planning to do after the marches and after Sharpton, he goes and he gets his glory, then he comes on back? What other kinds of things do you have planned to get rid of the police there for your young children?
That's a real, and stay on with me. So I love questions. This is really what I love more than anything. I've been doing this for 30 years, and assalamu alaikum, and thank you for calling, sister.
Yes,
with
sir.
These white folks joining, we need an hour and a half, and hopefully I can come back on and get another hour and a half, because being there from day one, you know, it reminds me of Jeremiah in the Bible. They refer to him as a weeping prophet because you know so much, and then I can't hardly answer this real quick. They brought in a brother named from the state troopers named Brother Johnson. And to be honest, the brother's not a bad brother at all. But the white folks always put you where you can feel. What they did note, and most people don't know to this day, the guy who's trying to run for the vice president, that's after Hillary Clinton, get in there. His name is Jay Nixon. This white boy here is so racist, it's sickening. Jay Nixon had them before he made this brother over all the police in this area. He didn't have them to step down. He just had this brother just to be over all these white folks, because we kept on talking about it's 53 police, only 3 blacks, and all these municipalities, you know, 15 white sergeants, the whole lot. and no black sergeant, 16 promotions of lieutenants and only one black lieutenant. We just knew we weren't going to get a fresh shake. So what they tried to do was put a black man's face there. As this brother here just so happened to be a good brother, but the same day they did it, they put some real foul stuff out about Mike Brown Jr. that they had just killed, about going into the store with some cigarillos. It caused the community to erupt because they wanted to erupt under this black man's watch. And everything he's tried to do, these white folks have went behind trying to destroy. To answer your question about what are we talking about doing, what we're doing is now is saying what we're, in your community, wherever city you're from, my sister, we're saying that if you're black in Ferguson, it's 67% black. Well, unless I'm retarded, I don't understand what I'm talking about. We don't understand why it's not 67% black. It's for police officers that we feel as though that the people in that community should live in that community and it should represent the segment of that community. If you got 67 black population living in that community, then it's a no-brainer. It should be 67% that police. The next thing that we got is most of these areas, it's not just like that. I'm going to bet you it's like that in your area. Just about every area. It might always be an exception to the rule. It might be a municipality that they don't have that kind of outlandish number. But for the most part, it's like that. So what we're doing is now we're saying that we're asking for them to have subpoena power that a citizen review board, meaning a person like you, me, or the buddy ma'am, or the brother Hall who just called in, or whoever, brother Yaya, can be a plain citizen. But we have subpoena power so when these police shoot or do anything, we can subpoena them to come in there and have them under record in front of a grand jury and make them answer questions for us and not let them slide away. That's one of the things we're asking them. The next thing we're doing is asking for them to take these municipalities that they're having all these little cameras making this money, or they stopping on police checks and stuff, that they just have a whole lot of police just stopping people. And this is how these courtrooms are full with black people, and this is how they're making their money. Their revenue is coming off of black people. That's another thing that we're doing now under this law called Mike Law. We're asking the Congress and the Senate. This is one of the things that Mike Brown's father and mother went to Washington, D.C. 3 weeks ago to come out with. It's going to be called the Mike Law. But I can tell you policing would never be the same in America again, along with them having cameras that everything they do from the time they come on to the time that they stop, that camera will be watching and doing everything, because these white folks and these police have what they call a secret order. Whatever they do to black people, if a police officer tell them he's distant from them, they will never accept him again in life. So all of them lie and write up false reports. As I said earlier, I'm not anti-police because I got some blood numbers in my family that are good police, and they really love being a police. So I don't think that every police in the world, but if you don't think it's no police putting dope on nobody and putting guns on people when they can't catch them, they shoot them and then put a gun on them and then put powder on his hand and put his thing under the trigger, then it means that you don't understand that you're in America where white folks gave people syphilis and gave them the smallpox to the Indian and gave opium to other people, and you don't understand that. My sister?
Yes, sir.
Did I mess
up?
Yes,
sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
No, I thank her for the call, and I'm just telling you, I want to talk about Ferguson, but I really am. When I'm talking about New Jersey, I'm talking about y'all too, and that's why it's important that next week, anybody who can come into St. Louis, make sure you vote first. But we're asking for 50,000 people, but what we're really doing, Brother Yaya is working with the colleges, but we're working with St. Louis. It's calling in all the surrounding little areas around us, but we're asking for Chicago, which is like a four-hour drive, Kentucky, which is like a four-and-a-half to five-hour drive, Kansas City, which is a four-hour drive, Memphis, Tennessee, which is less than a four-hour drive. All the close cities, we're asking for them to bring thousands and thousands of people to come in here to help us to be able to get this done, because if we get it done here, what's happening here is happening in Memphis, it's happening in Chicago.
This is a brilliant idea.
New York.
You know what, Brother Anthony, I think this is a turning point in our people's consciousness. I'm old enough to remember Emmett Till's murder.
Yes.
His assassination,
yes.
And his lynching,
yes.
And it was a turning point in the civil rights movement, a human rights
Allahu
movement.
Akbar.
I believe this will be a turning point in our freedom movement. So continue, my dear
yes.
brother.
I want Brother Yaya to talk about these colleges that he's working with, the three or four colleges that he's already in touch bases with, and that's why I love these young brothers, and I like to keep them out front. That's why I really like to keep them on the radio, but they got to learn how to do it. Just tell Brother Shahid to shut up, because I'll get a mic and keep going. So I want him to kind of talk about whatever he needs to cover, what I'm not covering. You can let us know how much time we got, then I can think about the other things that I want to make sure we can cover before we get off the radio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So this is what's going on. We have a collaborative effort with college campuses all throughout the world, all throughout the United States, a collaborative effort that we're trying to keep awareness to this Mike Brown issue. We're trying to keep awareness of police brutality against black people. We're trying to keep awareness just of these issues that's affecting black people. So we have a collaboration with different college campuses. Of course, Lincoln University is on board. We have Hurstow State University in St. Louis. We have Howard University. I know the person that called earlier said it was from Howard. We have Howard University up in D.C., and we also have Texas Southern University down here in Austin, Texas. And Allah willing, and say Allah, that I will have many more colleges come on board.
Did you get Xavier College?
Yes, sir. Xavier College as well. So we have.
And that's in New Orleans, and I'm glad that they're on, because they've been coming back and forth, and I want you to say this, but they've been coming back and forth at least for the last Lincoln University, Xavier, and I think a few from Howard. And when they come from that far away, I like to always acknowledge them, because it's one thing to be right here and come out. But when you come as far as New York, when you come as far as Washington, as young people 40 and 50 deep in buses and vans, then that means a whole lot. That means that the conscience is really growing. So go ahead, Brother Yaya. But I really want to give them that shout-out, because I'm really thankful for Xavier. I'm really thankful for Howard University. All those people, young brothers, putting their hands up, saying, hands up, don't shoot. Then that shows that they still with us, even if they can't come. And then I think he's going to tell you some of the things, the reason we want them to make sure, and you're going to give them your email address, Brother Yaya. And then
yes,
they can pick my Twitter name. My name is Anthony Shahid Twitter. Go on that, and then they can see some more of the stuff that we're doing. But there's some things that they can do, even if they can't come here, Brother Imam Alfred. There's some things they can do right from there as far as making calls to people, letting them know we're going to have a list of people that they can call saying how important it is to get out. I'm a college student.
Brother Anthony, why don't you give those numbers out and tell us what we can do right here, right now? Because as soon as religion means a lot, get the money to travel, we're going to be on the ground to stay out there 4 or 5 days and sleep in the sleeping bag. Because we're going to bring the movement back. Our people need a movement. Instead of our people listening to Rick Ross, they should be listening to Brother Yaya. Instead of Nicki Minaj, looking, you know, what she said on air. But we have to be able to work to organize, strategize, and harmonize with our people for the solution to the slavery pollution. So continue on. I'm sorry, y'all got me all stirred up now.
Well, you make sure that for the last 5 or 10 minutes, we can start getting out. My Twitter name is Anthony Shahid. My name is spelled Shahid. Anthony, Anthony, Anthony Shahid, Twitter 1. They can get with me and send information to me or whatever they want to do. Brother Yaya is way better. Brother Shahid, I have to be very honest with you. I'm better at talking than doing anything else. I don't know any of this new stuff. So I got a granddaughter that's 6 years old that looked at me and just about snatched up to me like, Papa, you don't know how to do this. Papa, I was like, Papa, I don't know how to do this. So, Brother Yaya, if you would give your information out, because I'll have you posting things for us, and then they'll know how to roll with us. But once you give me your information, because he know how to use this stuff called social media. All I know how to do is say it. I don't even know what Twitter is. I'm just talking, and somebody else set it up for me. I don't even know what it is.
Yes, sir. That's the most powerful tool that anybody can do right now is social media.
Don't feel, Brother Anthony, no, I can't leave you like that. I guess you make you feel the same way that I feel. I'm in the retard class, the special ed class. But my 13-year-old, you don't know how to do that. So I don't feel bad. That's why we need brother like Yaya to help us.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right. Go ahead, Brother Yaya. I'm sorry. We just want to let the world know that y'all are the smart ones, and we're the old men for council. Y'all for the war of the social media and all other kind of wars.
Oh, no, sir. No, right. Sir. No, there's a saying out. and saying was that the generation before my generation have felt us. You know, I completely disagree with that. People have felt us, but the generation has not. Thing is, we don't look to true leaders like you, Brother Shahid, or you, Brother Iman Alpha. We don't look to true leaders to guide us and help us. That's the problem. So the generation before us didn't fail us. People did. Falsehood did. The devil did. See, the thing is, we look towards Shaitan. We didn't look towards God. We didn't get on God's side, so God can get on our side. So it's not that the generation before us fell us. That's not it whatsoever. People did. People who we choose to follow did. That's what happened. We chose the ignorant way. We chose to follow ignorant people. And now we're in an ignorant position. But social media is one of the most powerful tools. Man, if you young people and everybody would tweet, Instagram, Facebook, Vine, whatever you can do, if you have any of those social media websites, I'm going to say it again, Instagram, Twitter, Vine, Facebook, if you have any one of those, you could tweet hands up, don't shoot. Tweet justice for Mike Brown. You can follow Anthony Shahid on all those social media networks. Again, his name is Anthony Shahid. You can follow him on all those social media networks. And mine is J.C. Muhammad. That's on Twitter. That's on Instagram. That's on Facebook. J. John C. Muhammad. J-O-H-N-C. Muhammad. M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D. J.C. Muhammad. If you could tweet, Facebook, whatever you can do, hands up, don't shoot. Justice for Mike Brown. Keep tweeting this. Make sure that people are well aware of this issue because white people are trying to make this issue die out. So it's up to us, black people who are conscious, to keep this issue well abreast in the minds of these white people who are trying to erase this from our memory. We ain't going to let this die out. We did it before. We did it with Emmett Till. We did it with Trayvon Martin. We did it with Jordan Davis. We're not going to do it with Michael Brown. We're going to keep his name relevant, and we're going to keep this issue at the forefront because this issue is affecting black people everywhere. This issue is affecting blacks. And we can't drop the ball.
And it's so big that it has beyond, it went past Brother Michael Brown. We keep Michael Brown out front because he was the door that opened up for other things. But everything that's happening around this country now, it's like they was asking us, Brother Imam, about the St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals will be glad they didn't win the World Series, I can tell you that one. You know, because they only had one black, they didn't have no black ball players. They got less than 4% in their management position, their top organization, they're black. And these people don't understand why we feel that way. That's why we constantly keep telling the people around the world, our problem is not with Afghanistan or these other countries. Stop going to worry about somebody else and worry about what's happening right here in your city in New Jersey, in Philadelphia. You know, start talking about what's happening in Cleveland. And if you can't come to work with us, work in your own city. Do something in your own city. It would be good to help us because if you help us sit on this egg and make this egg hatch, I'm a person who sit on the egg until it hatch. If you can come here and help us hatch this egg, remember, whatever's happening in St. Louis is happening in every other city. When you check what's happening with a swimming pool, you don't have to take the whole swimming pool to the laboratory. You can take a thimble full of water, a teaspoon full of water, and you can check it and find out if it's too much chlorine, if it's too much bacteria, or you can find out what's wrong. Whatever's happening in St. Louis, I'm willing to bet you it's happening in Kansas City. What's happening in St. Louis, I bet you it's happening in New York or New Jersey. Whatever's happening, I'm willing to bet you it's happening in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's happening in every city throughout America. So help us here crack this egg, and then once you help us crack this egg, we'll be able to help you in your city by just appearing. I got people all people around the world to acknowledge what we're doing. I need people that can come in here. If you can't come from four different, maybe you know somebody in Chicago, these closer cities. Maybe you know somebody in Kansas City or Memphis. Maybe you know somebody in Kentucky, somewhere between 4 and 5 hours away. Tell them, hey, it's important. This is what we did in the Genesis. I drove 9 hours, me and my daughter and a brother named Rodney Hubbard, who was a state representative. We drove 9.5 hours, really 10 hours because we turned the wrong way, 10 hours to go down there. Didn't get none but sleep in the car. Well, one was driving, the other ones were sleeping. And we drove down there. I was down there for maybe about 10 hours, got right back in the car, and we turned around and came right back to St. Louis because it was that important. And I think we had at least about 50,000 or 60,000 people. What we're asking for is to have that number doubled here because the global attention is on this. It's very important that if we crack this egg, help us. And if you can't come, say, Brother Shahid, I'm willing to make phone calls. It's phone calls you can make, Brother Shahid. What we will at least do is we'll call to try to get people out, or can we call Bob McCullough? Can we ring his phone, or can you give us his number, this guy that you say like Bull Connors, the most racist guy that you say that won't step off this case, that to get all this problems going on. He's the prosecutor down there. He won't step. Let us start calling. Maybe if they start getting calls from New York. Maybe if they start getting calls from New Jersey. Maybe if they start getting calls from California. Maybe if they start getting calls from that the East Coast and the West Coast, then they understand that it's not just us talking about this. But as long as they think this is localized and it's just a problem that's isolated, it's just happening here, but it's not happening. This problem is happening everywhere that black people can't get jobs, that the white attorneys do better than the black attorneys. The white physicians do better than the black physicians. The white police do better than the black police. The white atheists do better than the black atheists. The white Jew do better than the black Jew. The white Muslims are doing better than the black Muslims. I don't care what scenario or what category you're in. This Mike Brown issue and brought everything to light that we can talk about everything from just this one thing, because Allah bless Mike Brown to be so spiritual in his depth that it has opened up doors that we never would have thought about. People can talk about things they never could have talked about. That's why you see me wear the KKK. I wore that. I was the first one that went down to Genesis 6, and I led the march. I didn't even go down to Brother Alpha to lead the march. But when I put on my KKK hat on, the Grand Wizard hat, and when I put my black gloves on, when I started putting all this symbolism on, when I had my chains on, they started following me. And then I started talking about hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot down there, brother. They were listening to me and following Brother Shahid and saying, brother, you are what we're talking about, because these young people, brother, if they hadn't stood up, brother, ma'am, after Brother Yahya and all those young people had not stood up, we wouldn't be on this phone. You wouldn't be calling me right now. Brother Yah, Brother Ramadan would have never gave you my number. He gave me your number for us to call each other, because everything would have been over with. But because those young people were fearless and forceful, because they didn't put their head down to white folks, whether they understood or not, they believed in a higher power, and they knew this power wasn't going to work. Like the brother say, Satan. They knew they wasn't going to worship this Satan, this devil worship here, of a young brother getting killed, and they was just going to leave it alone. That's the reason this world is looking out, because of this young, black, male youth. And I'm not going to deny them. This is what I did for years as president of the Taihi Youth Group. I've worked with 5-4 and 4-4 and 6-deuce and GDs and L. Rookins and Folks and King Cobras and Crips and Blood all around this country. I've worked with them. I'm not going to deny these young brothers, because these young brothers are warriors, and they don't fear. They got the spirit of Muslims. They don't fear death. They love death, look like, more than they love life here. What I seen in these young brothers' eyes when they shot Mike Brown on the ground for 4.5 hours, what I seen in them brothers' eyes is what the companion, the disbeliever had snuck into the ranks of the Muslims. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and them was getting ready for a battle, for the battle, the first battle, which was called Badr. And the infidel had snuck into the ranks to see what the Muslims were doing. And he had to come back and give a report to Abu Sufyan and some of the other head devils. And they told him, he said, I seen nothing but death in the eyes of Muhammad Fall. They love death more than they love life. That's what I seen from them young brothers in Ferguson. Them young brothers love death more than they love life. And these white folks ain't seen a group of brothers like this. This young black youth, he's fearless. I love him. I'm taking a stand with them. I'm not going to condemn them. And I thank Allah for them. All I'm going to do is stay on the front line with them and guide them, and keep them from getting themselves killed. Because these young brothers here, I'm telling you, they're not going for that stuff. I put the KKK on my outfit.
Brother Anthony, I tell you this, you got some powerful symbolism. I hope you'll, I know you're right down that battlefield in Ferguson, Missouri, but we want you to, we may go on tour together, because I think about young people.
I got an outfit for, hey, check this out. I got an outfit for you. I got one I just made up, and I got 4Ks on mine. And don't think I'm that retarded, I can't spell. Sometimes
you know,
people say, why you got 4Ks?
See, another thing we got to deal with too, Brother Anthony, is the KKK has now also turned into KKK, Kill, Ken, Killing Ken. So we got to stop that one too. So I think it's powerful in these cities where we're killing each other. If we were to bring the attention of our young people, that all you're doing is recreating what these devils did to us. You see what I'm saying? I love your drama, because you're dramatizing the pain and
not only that, what I do is what Allah blessed the Prophet Muhammad to do, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was always on the front line. I'm at the forefront of all this. The Muslims are at the front of this. We're not hiding. We're not standing there taking no backseat as Allah is my witness. We are front. And that's why I got the Ku Klux Klan killer. I'm the KKKK. I'm killing that mindset. That mindset to think that they can come here in this damn time, and you're 2014, and just railroad our people and put fear in them. I fear nothing but Allah. When I put my head down, I'm a slave for Allah and Allah alone. I'm not no slave for white folks or they Uncle Tom Negro. I tell you that right now, bro. The brother Tay, when he came up to Lincoln University and told me what he was going through and how many people came against them, how serious they was of not letting this situation happen, that we could come up there and speak, I told him, so they was kind of like they was going like to do some tiptoeing through the tulip. They act like they wanted to do some kind of soft-spoken words, some spoken words. I told Brother Yaya, and he can bear me witness. I said, Brother, I didn't drive up here for that. Now, I told you, if you give me that mic and you sit me on that stage, as Allah is my witness, I'm letting loose. I ain't holding nothing back. Our people are suffering and dying in these damn streets, and I ain't holding a damn thing back. I ain't holding nothing back. I'm letting loose. I'm calling on Allah, and whatever they plan on doing to me, brother, I'm on record for this. You know what my saying is, Brother Alfred, Brother Yaya? My sister just called Brother Hall. Excuse me. Get past my God. Get past Allah. And whatever you do, it's his permission. But get past Allah. Whatever you're going to do, get past Allah. Are you there? Brother Yaya?
Yes, sir. We have a caller from 201-344.
Come on with it.
Caller, you are on the air with Religion Means Alive. Just 1 second. Bear with us. Yes. Yes, sir. Caller on the air. Religion Means Alive. Brother Anthony. Good evening.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, sir. I heard you loud and clear.
And I just want to extend my salam to both Brother Shahid and Brother Yaya. As a matter of fact, Brother Shahid, I now have a visual on you because I have been reading the St. Louis Post Dispatch almost every day from
Post
this part Dixie of the country.
Spatch. I call it Dixie Dispatch.
Okay. And now I correlated the photograph with your description, so now I see exactly who you are. So, and I've read you have a long history of activism in that community. So what I would like to ask both of you, because I've been reading these articles about the preparation for schools in the advent of, you know, the grand jury announcing their decision with respect to the police officer. And I'd like to get your assessment on what do you think is going to be the on-the-ground reaction to that decision, and as leaders, what the leadership that's indigenous to Ferguson and St. Louis, what their plans are.
Okay, that's a good question.
I'm very interested in that because the national media has basically played up this idea is that there's no indictment of the officer, basically Ferguson is going to be burned to the ground. And I'm just wondering if there's some long-term plan to deal with the issues that both of you have outlined.
Well, I don't think it's just what's going to happen in Ferguson. Let me just tell you what I'm hearing. And I could be totally wrong, but I'm telling you, I've been on the ground, and I've been in this community, and I'm not one of their boys. I'm not owned by nobody but Allah. But what I'm hearing is not just Ferguson, not just St. Louis, not just the Chicago. The world is listening. These cities are listening, no different from what happened to Dr. King. I believe this country is going to see this. It's a racial powder keg that we're sitting on, and everybody now want to play like an ostrich with his head in the ground and his butt sticking up in the air. What they don't want to do is call it down the way it is and tell the truth. These young people, they don't care about what – and I didn't get your name. What is your name, young brother from 201, Erica? What is your name?
I'm Brother Hakeem.
Brother Hakeem? Brother Hakeem, I don't think they care a damn about what you talking about, Brother Shahid talking about, Brother Hall talking about, the sister who called talking about, Brother Yaya, nobody else. These brothers on the street, if that verdict come back in, these young people are going to erupt. It ain't got nothing to do with me and you. Said you can go out there all day long and tell them don't do it. What they have said and what I've heard them constantly say around the country, because people have been coming in all from all around the country, what they're saying is that they're tired of this protesting. I'm just telling you what they're saying. They are extremely tired of it. They don't feel those gallows nowhere. They feel that Dr. King got killed, and ain't nothing changed. It done got worse. So if they hadn't did what they started doing, nobody would be talking about it. They're going to finish whatever they started, and it's going to be all over this country. That's what I'm hearing. And now, you're asking me the truth. It ain't get, that I'm promoting it. I don't think Brother Imam on the radio promoting it. I don't think that you're promoting it, Brother Haki. I don't think Brother Yaya. You're asking me a question that I'm answering. What they're saying is that this verdict don't come back because the police are shooting these brothers all around the country. This is not an isolated incident that it just happened one time, that it ain't happened nowhere. They are killing us. These young people are tired of it. They're tired of not having jobs. And what I've heard them say is that, hey, the reason most of us got records is because of all this protesting. If y'all would have protested and it worked so good, we wouldn't have had to have felonies, because y'all could have kept these guns and dope out of our community. But y'all talk about us, but you don't talk about the white folks that bring in and brush. Hey, we hear you talking about it, but you ain't went to the United Nations as nobody and tell them what you want them to do and prove that they're doing. You talk about it, we appreciate it, but you ain't did a damn thing about it. I'm just saying how these young people are talking. We wouldn't have guns in our community if we could take the guns out of our community. This is what I've heard them say. If you can take the dope out of the community and give us some, I mean, meaningful jobs. I'm talking about carpentry jobs, pipe fitter jobs, painting jobs, concrete jobs, glazing jobs, carpentry jobs, electricity jobs, plumbing jobs, where we can make some money. And then when we got off of that, we can still go make some money. A lot of this stuff we wouldn't have to do. But because y'all allowed them to bring dope in our community and don't say anything about it, because, and most black people don't, when I get to talking this, don't nobody come back and say, well, you're right, so let's get together and let's go to the UN and listen. Don't nobody say another word about it. So they're right. So they're saying the reason they got these records, and most of them have been in jail and they in all this trouble, because we provided nothing from them. We've never stood up, and most of these Negroes that's out here, they get payoffs. They do all this talking and marching, and they take a payoff. And I have to say this, and this is not for no other reason. I'm not nobody's boy. Anybody know my history, look me up and you'll find out I'm not nobody's boy. I got to take my hat off to Al Sharpton, and I never would have thought I would have said this, but it's the truth. Everything that he told this family he's going to do, he did it. Most of these other ones, starting with Jesse Jackson, that came in here for photo ops. I say what I want to say. I call these Negroes' names out by name. They come in for photo ops. They didn't come in to really work with our people. They didn't do nothing. Al Sharpton paid for the funeral. This is what I know for a fact. This ain't what I'm thinking. Al Sharpton raised $50,000 for his family because he knew the tremendous burden that they was going to have on them, and that's no money for what I'm seeing this family dealing with. That's the second thing. They had to go to Washington, D.C. on this stuff that I was just telling you. He paid for the hotels, food, airplanes, the whole WAP. And it was, and the next thing he did that I really respect him for, and I have to be honest with you, if he didn't do it, I wouldn't say it. Before he came into the city, he picked up the phone because I was the first activist on the ground. He said, Brother Shahid, I'm coming in for the family. He got my number from somebody. He said, I'm coming in for the family, the mother and the father, Leslie Spadden, Mike Brown Sr., the grandfather, but Brother Shahid, what I will fail to do is come into your city. You're the person on the ground. You're the one that got all this stuff started and not come in. You're the one that got hands up, don't shoot around the world right now. I would feel be remiss if I didn't come in to check with you to see what you need me to do. And if it's a problem, I don't even have to get on the plane if you would say you don't need me. Also, brother, I respect you for doing that. I thank you for coming in. I need you to help me get some national attention on things. If you would just follow our lead, I would be appreciative. I have to be honest about that. Now, most of these Negroes that have come in there since then ain't did none of that. They come in for a photo op. They haven't got with the family. And a lot of them come in here and they made deals with these white folks. That's what I know for a fact.
Right.
Yeah, y'all got quiet now. Yeah, I said what's on my mind.
I don't want you to stop talking. I want you to keep going.
Listen,
hey, facts speak. You know, I grew up in the Nation of Islam. He said actual facts. So you've been kicking the facts.
Yeah.
Or as the young people say, you're spitting the facts up. What am I going to do with the facts?
I have to be honest, because Islam tells us to tell the truth. The Imam Elijah Muhammad taught us mathematics. Islam is mathematics. And mathematics is Islam. And if we don't tell the truth, Allah tells us in the Quran, tell the truth, even if it's against yourself. So I have to tell the truth. And I just get tired of these head scratching, foot shuffling, back door knocking, Uncle Ben Rice eating, dressed up cotton pickers, coming into this community, presenting themselves as the Bible calls them as harlots. and that they can buy them with crumbs. And I'm going to tell you how I know it, not just in this city, in your city, whatever city y'all in, that 201 area code my brother's in, I'm willing to bet you these Negroes are making deals with the white folks. They used to be a TV program called Monty Hall.
Somebody just texted me and said, would you repeat that one? Because they want to write that down and put it in Wikipedia and give credit to Brother
okay.
Anthony Shaheen. Repeat that again, my dear brother.
Okay, I will. Head scratching, foot shuffling.
Head scratching.
Back door knocking. Uncle Ben Rice eating dressed up cotton picker. Head scratching, foot shuffling, back door knocking. Uncle Ben Rice eating dressed up cotton picker. I got another one. Diamond ring wearing, chicken finger licking, we shall overcome singing, keep hope alive, rented Negro, porch monkeys. I'm tired of them coming into here making deals without the because if they wasn't making deals without community, our community would look different, but they making deals. It's not like they're making deals for the community. They're making deals for themselves. These Negroes are lining their pockets. The community, reading you know it, our people are suffering on the street. If they was making all these deals for the community would be prosperous. But what they do, they come in and get them a salary. They get a couple of their girlfriends or their side girlfriend a salary. They go get some of the other little partners a salary. And then by the time they get to the young bugs on the street who they playing like they can come talk to, which they don't have a relationship with, by the time they reach down there, they talking about a $6 or $7 an hour job that's going to only last for 8 weeks. That's why they do all that kind of stuff. And that's why these young brothers hate them, these Negroes. And they don't want to hear from them. They're not going to listen to them. And they tired of people playing with them. If they were making all this money for the black community that they sit and saying they're getting these grants for and everything, then our community would change. But they're saying that what they know how to do is what you call paperwork. They don't know how to do the actual thing. They know how to put it on paper. And because the white folks are so out of touch with black folks, they don't know who to go get. So they go get some of the clergy. It ain't nothing to do with me being a Muslim. It's got something to do with the actual fact again. The preachers can't draw none but women in churches. So if you want some Girl Scout cookies or you want some bridge games or you want something that's dealing with some women, then you go to the pastors. But you know damn well you don't go to no pastors that come out there with these young warriors, these young lions. You don't come to tell no pastor you want him to come in the street to talk to each other. What can he say? He can only draw women. He can't draw no men. If the women leave the church is over with. So instead of us being honest, see, they get attitudes when they hear me say it, but this is the truth. The book says, know ye the truth, John 8:32, so you can be set free. They don't want no freedom. They want to crawl back on the plantation. They want to skin and grin with these white folks. They want to do what I call boot licking, butt licking, buck dancing, buck jumping, buck kissing, butt sniffing, being half-baked, half-fried, punkified, sissified, pasteurized, homogenized Negroes. That's what they want to do. They want to be the duck and yo-yos for these white folks. Law whack bar.
That's right.
Yeah, don't ever put a mic in my face and say a buck dance.
No, I love it, and we got to hear more of you, and we're going to have you back again. We got more minutes. Y'all can dial 805-727. Don't y'all be nothing. Y'all bug dancing, chicken licking, Bible spitting preachers. Y'all just stay on in the background. Because we got a brother here that's live. He's always live. It started at 5, and it certainly ain't no jive right there in St. Louis, Missouri. So you can dial 805-727-7013. Now, I'm in Georgia. This is what the Honorable Muhammad, this is what Harriet Tubman, this is the spirit they had. Freedom or death. And we said,
brother, our people are dying. Brother, Imam, our people are dying in the streets. I cannot come as a representative of the brothers and sisters on the street. I represent brothers and sisters on the street and not being a voice for them. You know, I'm going to tell you what
sir.
They did. They had a liar. If you type my name in, Brother Shaheed or Anthony Shaheed, S-H-A-H-I-D, and put Channel 2 News and put the word nigger, not Negro, nigger. Put that there because they had an open mic, and they told us before, we're going to do an open mic. So everybody be careful what they say. I purposely said what I said because I meant it. I said that y'all are shooting us down in the streets, that black people have been dogged in America. Our human rights are being violated. Y'all treat us because Michael Vick lost his whole contract when he wound up dealing with them dogs. I knew just as good he's going to lose all that money dealing with them dogs when they had him out there and said him and them dogs was dog fighting.
I knew just as good it was over with for Michael Vick. See, I knew he was going to jail, and I knew he was going to be convicted. But they do just the opposite with us, my brother. Now, here it is. They know for a fact what has happened to me and you as a people. And don't nobody want to address it. Don't nobody want to say anything about it. Everybody want to play like it just tiptoed through the tulip. And that we don't supposed to say nothing. These young people are not going to allow it. So when they put that mic in front of me, I say, y'all are shooting us down in the street like dogs and niggas. I want the world to know. I want Eric Holden. This was the second day after this happened. I said, I want Eric Holden to come in here and look at this thing because we don't trust these white folks here. I'm asking for President Obama. He spoke out now 5 times about this issue. President Obama has never spoken on a black issue this many times. We made him come out and speak on this black issue because this black youth is being so disconnected. He's so disconnected from this black family that this black community, they don't even understand what he's going through because they done lost touch with them. So what we're trying to do is make them understand, hey, I speak for black people on the street, Brother Imam, Brother Haki. I speak for brothers and sisters on the street that they are dogging, that somebody got to talk for them. Now, here it is. I'm their spokesman, and I'm going to get up there and let them give me $5, and I'm going to go like I'm a dentist. I keep my teeth where they can just see my teeth all the time, and then they pat me on their head, and they call me Leroy Henry. That's what they used to call Uncle Tom, Leroy Henry or Willie Earl or Willie Lee or where is Leroy at? No, I'm not your Leroy. I'm not your Henry. I'm a Shaheed. I'm a witness bearer that bears witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for one God, and that's all. And that's why I put my head down. Whatever you're going to do, I already got a time that Allah is going to take me away from here. But I pray Allah that if he take me away from here, he take me as a martyr. Let them kill Brother Shaheed, because before I sell the black community out, I would rather die. I would rather accept death, knowing that it's going to happen sooner or later.
Brother Shaheed, can I ask you a question? Why was Reverend... It is reported that Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson was ran out of town on the rail. Is that true? And if so, why?
Well, I don't know if they ran him out, but they should have. But I believe that some young brothers caught him somewhere else. Now, what I did witness, and it was a few years ago up in Chicago, they went buck wild on Jesse because Jesse, he reminded me of that guy that was on the Let's Make a Deal, Monty Hall. He always coming behind door number one, number two, or number three. I have no respect. Since that Million Man March, when he played that game with Minister Farrakhan, the minister accepted him. I've never accepted him back because he's always doing that old slick stuff coming into black. And it's not just him. He done trained up. It's like I got a young student, Brother Yaya, on the phone. He done made some Ibbins. You know, in Islam, Ibn means the son of. He done made some son of Jesse Jackson just butt dancing and making taking payoff.
What about Jamal Bryant? What about Jamal Bryant? I've seen him in.
Yeah, I don't know. Be honest, I don't know too much about him. What I don't do is speak on something I don't know. I did know he was here.
Yes, sir.
He came here a couple of times. He never checked in with me. What I can tell you, I'm on record for that. He didn't come in and check with the people. We have a coalition for Michael Brown. So it's not just Brother Shaheed, but the original group of brothers and sisters who were there on the ground. I'm just so happened to be the first one on the ground and have never left. So out of respect for Brother Shaheed, when you come into a town, why wouldn't you check in with me? If I came to New Jersey right now or the 201 area code or Lincoln University, why wouldn't I check with Brother Yaya and Lincoln University? Why would I just come up there knowing that they done told him they don't want nobody up there, that the sheriff of the county up there done called them, the chief of police, why would I come in there and talk to him? Why would I just go and let the chief of police tell me who go talk to? Why would I do that? See, it's ignorance for them to come into a town and not do it, but because they're getting paid. And then the next thing is the white folks want a Negro they can control like a yo-yo. They used to have a yo-yo called Duncan Yo-Yo when I was little, and you put it around your finger and they make it go down. Sometimes you make it do it around the world or whatever. They want a Negro that's going to do exactly what they say. Do what I told you, and Negro, go where I show you. When I tell you to jump, don't ask me how high. When you get there, I'll inform you. They want a Negro to do what I told you and go where I showed you. They want a Negro that when they get through with him and his black community, if you cut a penny in half, he ain't worth either side. They want a Negro that when you get through with him, you can put that Negro bird and brain and his brain in a bird and the damn bird to fly backwards. That's the Negro they don't want. They don't want a black man that bears witness that Allah is God and don't fear nothing but Allah and ain't going to bow down to them and be one of their butt buddies. That's the problem they got with me.
And I can understand it. I can understand why, because you got Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, Gabriel Prosser, and Abdullah Muhammad in your blood,
Allah.
And you got those chicken garden. Yes, sir.
Allah.
So, Anybody want to make further comments or questions? We got about another 11 minutes. Dial 805-727-7013. 805-727-7013. We have a man right on the ground in Ferguson, Missouri. We have
Brother Yaya, go ahead. Give your information out again, Brother Yaya, because you're the main person, because if they try to get me, I got to wait till somebody check my Twitter page to tell me what they done said. I don't know how to do it, but one thing people can do is if you listen, you can Twitter, believe me, because I'm going to have somebody to check it just as soon as I get off the phone and tell them, hey, I was on the radio, I gave it out, and every time I do it, they blast me. So if you would do that, but Brother Yaya, if you would be the point person, give them your information, and then be ready to do it.
Yes, sir. You can
go ahead, Brother Yaya.
Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, either all three. I don't care. It's John.
You're going too fast. Yeah. Go too, Brother Yaya. You go too fast. Go slow.
Go too fast. Let me keep it slow. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, any social media network. John C. Muhammad. That's J-O-H-N-C. Muhammad. M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D. John C. Muhammad.
A lot of Wi-Fi, and they can get you through all that there. And what I'm asking anybody, whoever can come to St. Louis, let me give you my email address. It's Shahid, S-H-A-H-I-D, Shahid Anthony at AOL.com. Shahid, S-H-A-H-I-D, Shahid Anthony, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y, Shahid Anthony at AOL.com. Send some to me. My children are going to check all my information, and I'll get back with you, I promise you. All I need you to do is anybody who's in position, call us. Why call us? Because maybe you can help us from distance. Maybe you can't come in here, but you can call and make sure the county prosecutor knows where you want to step down. You can make sure maybe in your area you'll say, we'll make sure we give you 1,000 calls a day. We'll make sure that's what we can't come that way, but we'll make sure we put it out so you can get 1,000 calls. Maybe the next group can say, well, we can't come in, but we can. You got a list. Can you send us the list? We can call and say we're from Kentucky. We're from Springfield. We're from whatever, and we're willing to make calls. There's some things that you can do to help us. We're reaching out. We need your help. We have something from the 31st, from next Friday, all the way until Tuesday. Anybody can come into St. Louis. I'm the easiest brother to catch in St. Louis. You can have anybody, Brother Anthony Shaheed, know how to catch me, and they can point to me because I'm out here. I live out here. That's what I do.
Brother Anthony, I was just asked whether or not there are telephone numbers that you may have that we should have our people to call into, whether it be the Attorney General of the State of Missouri, the Governor's Office, whatever numbers you think we should call. Email, whatever, we just start a massive campaign.
That's beautiful. If you would do me a favor, because I don't have it in front of me, but what I want to do is, if I could get, I know you're on Monday, if you would give me a half an hour Monday, what I'll do with Brother Yaya,
yes,
I want you to be responsible.
Yes, sir, you got
Brother
it.
Yaya.
You got it Monday. Yes,
Brother,
sir. You
Brother
got
Yaya,
it.
What I need
yes,
you to do for me Monday, you're going to get with me. I want to make sure between you and Brother Poole.
Hey, and if you want to call him, Governor.
We're going to have you on Monday. We're going to have you back on Saturday. We're going to stay on this. This is what religion means. Religion means to be alive, not dead, not bootlicking. You can finish the rest of it out.
Yes, sir. Boot licking, butt licking, buck dancing, buck jumping, butt kissing, butt sniffing, being half baked, half fried, punky fried, sissy fried, pasteurized, homogenized Negro. It means standing up, walking. If you walk like a duck and quack like a duck, you're a duck. But if you walk like a black man and talk like a black man and speak like a black man and discipline like a black man, then you're a black man. It's time for us to quit being black boys and be black men to take care of our black family, our black children, our black women, our black our community. That's what time it is. It's time for us to be, it's nation building time. It's time for the world to understand now behind the Mike Brown situation, the black man is back. The black man is back. The black
man is back.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So, Brother Yaya, nation, I wonder what you're going to say about the government. You were going to say something about the governor. Do you have any information
right
in front of you? If you don't,
no,
let's do it Monday.
If you got it?
No.
If you want to write the governor, call the governor. His mailing address is P.O. Box 720, Jefferson City, Missouri, 65102. Again,
say it slow. You go too fast.
P.O. Box 720, Jefferson City, Missouri,
75102. And his phone number is 573-751-3222. If you want
say
to call
it again, 573. You go too fast. 573.
573-751-3222. 573-751-3222. And that's
his name is
Jeremiah Nixon.
Okay, Jeremiah Nixon, and then Bob McCullough. Do you have his information that they can just look his name up? I mean, even though we're going to come back on Monday, can you get in there? You don't have that in front of you then, right?
I don't have it in
front
of me. No,
that's okay. Let's just wait till Monday. If brother said he would invite us back on, let's make sure Monday when we come back on, I want to have them some telephone numbers to call that wherever they at, they can call, and they can tell people. Keep them on the line. Make them explain something to you. If they ain't there, tie their phone lines up. Keep calling them back until they call you back, and then when they call you back, keep them on the phone. Ask them, why haven't y'all indicted Darren Wilson? Why have not this man that did an execution, who did an assassination, y'all didn't assassinate his character? Why haven't you assassinated Darren Wilson's character? Why have y'all put him up as a war, like he's a war hero? Why have you not brought him up on war crimes? Anytime a man have their hands up in the air, it's an army thing that they do. You can't shoot a man with his hands up, but that ain't got nothing to do with these white folks in America. They shoot you with your hands up, down, all the way to the ground.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know what? Now I got his information for Bob McCullough. He's a prosecuting attorney for St. Louis County. He's
Go slow. Bob McCullough. Slow. Say it slow. Numbers. People never heard it before. Bob McCullough. Spell his last name.
Bob McCullough. His name is Bob P. McCullough. It's M C C L U U O C H. He's a St. Louis prosecuting attorney. His phone number.
Say it again, Bob. You said Bob P. McCullough. Say it again. Go slow. Bob P. McCullough. Play like everybody's
right.
Brother Shaheed is retarded and slow. Play like everybody's me.
His name is Bob P. McCullough. He's a St. Louis prosecuting attorney. His phone number is 314-615-2600. 314-615-2600. His mailing address is 100 South Central Avenue, Clayton, Missouri, 63105. 100 South Central Avenue, Clayton, Missouri, 63105. And it's Bob McCullough. He's a prosecuting attorney.
Bob P. McCullough, right?
Yes, sir. Bob P. McCullough. Patrick is his middle name. Bob Patrick McCullough.
Okay, and then I'm going to have a couple more numbers for you Monday for the St. Louis Police Department. I want you to call them. We're gonna give you some numbers so we can y'all can help us around the world. We got enough people now. We tie their phone lines up. They won't be able to do nothing but talk about what we talk about around the world. Even though you can't come here, there's some things you still can do. And the last thing that we're really pushing that I want to talk about Monday, if Allah bless us, come back on, Brother Imam. I want to talk about why we talk about, inshallah, calling Black December, and how we're talking about now making sure we stop spending money for this so-called Christmas. You go to any kind of black business and spend as much money as you can. Go out your way to spend money with black businesses.
Yes, sir.
And spend
yes,
as
sir.
Less money as you can with these white folks, because that's one of the other crucial problems. I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about the economical piece, why it's so important that we spend money with black businesses. I really want to hit that, and I want to hit that hard, because with all this talk we're doing, if we don't hit them economically to make them understand, like down here, we're whooping Walmart and we're whooping the boots off them and McDonald's hamburgers, because they're doing good things in the business part, but they're doing a lot of major construction. And in their major construction, that they're building these and doing re-imaging to make their McDonald's look different, they don't have any black people. Them, Taco Bell, McDonald's, Taco Bell, and Burger King, those are the ones we're excited so for. Then we're going to have a list, hopefully by Monday, that I can tell you all the people who are giving money to Darren Wilson. So everybody know, we want the world to know. I'm quite sure they're not embarrassed of it, since they're giving money. The black community should know it. Then the black community can decide if they want to spend some money with them or not.
Act right.
Allah Wakba.
Allah Wakba.
Right.
Allah
Wakba. Yes, sir.
I want to first thank you. I know it's time to wrap up. I'm looking at my clock. You only got about a minute left. I want to thank Allah for
you.
Yes,
sir. I want y'all to
religious
give a closing statement. Yes, sir. Well, give a closing
statement. My closing statement is to thank Allah for you. I just closed with it. I thank Allah for you to give us a chance. Religion do mean a lot, and it means life. Religion should catch you in your weak and make you strong. And if you got something that you dealing with as a faith, and you're weaker than tissue paper, you like a roach tipping on cotton. You know, when these white folks get through with you, you can cut a penny and you ain't worth either side. Cut a penny in half, you ain't worth either side. You need to think about if you need to stay in that religion. Religion should be something to catch you in your weak and make you strong. I'd like to thank you for inviting us on Religion Means Alive, me and myself and Brother Yaya. And thank you for 201 Eric Cole, for Brother Hall, and everybody else. And if everybody will at least Twitter, Brother Anthony Shaheed, Twitter one, and put Brother Yaya information on, I'll let him make a closing statement. I would be so appreciative. That would at least let me know that you've looked at this thing.
Yes, sir. I thank you all. I thank our honorable Brother Yaya. Please close it up. He's not going to exclude you or Aiden. Even though
Yes, sir. I know you don't got that much time. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Iman Alfred, I want to thank you for having us on your wonderful program. It was nothing but an honor, and I pray that Allah continues to bless you, and may He bless your listeners as well. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not understand this, if you need to follow Anthony Shaheed, look him up, Facebook him, Twitter him, do whatever you can. You need to follow him because he is the only black leader that we have right now that's on our side. You got these Uncle Tom niggas that work in these Uncle Tom positions, driving their token automobiles, their token white neighborhoods. They number some Uncle Tom niggas. Anthony Shaheed is a brother on our side. We have to follow him. We have to support him. Follow him right now. Get behind him. Support him any way you can. Follow Brother Anthony Shaheed because this is who we need. He's helping. He's leading us, and we're leading him. We need him, and we need you too, Brother Alfred.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Tomorrow I'm going to give a very special address at 3 o'clock. The Only Religion Means Alive. You can tune in by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred, or you can call in 805-727-7013. And we may just have a surprise guest. I may just ask you all to open up for me and give an opening statement. But I thank you so much. May God bless you. And I also want to tell you to please contribute. GoFundMe, Albert Muhammad Prostate Cancer Fund, and you can send your donations to that fund via the internet. Thank you, peace be on noble and honorable Richard Nardis. Tomorrow is the religion means a lot.
Assalamu alaikum. Hey, call me back.